Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's Friday morning. We're talking football. We got to bring on Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Mike, good morning. Welcome to the program.
How's it going, guys?
Mike, we're doing great, man. We are doing fantastic. Hey, got a lot to get to, obviously, and boy, we got it stirred up pretty good around here because everybody down here, all Dolphin fans, think Patriots are the biggest cheaters in the world. This advanced scout stuff, what do you think is going to happen? Spygate 2, whatever you're calling it. How's this play out with the NFL and Roger Goodell?
Assuming that the NFL confirms that there's no connection, no tentacles between the video crew and the football operations, and I would go completely down the rabbit hole to make sure that there isn't any type of anything, any connection, anything that would suggest that these yahoos that were openly and audaciously taping the Bengals sideline were using it for strategic gain. Once you confirm that there isn't a connection, and I believe there isn't a connection, once you confirm that, then you find them and you move on. I don't think that this is anything like the past incidents the Patriots have been involved in. I mean, when you look at the circumstances, it really is so ridiculous to think that the Patriots would do something like this deliberately. I mean, they did it, they admit it, but to do it, to deliberately cheat, to deliberately gain an advantage, we have somebody sitting there in the press box in Patriots gear with a camera, open and obvious, sitting, and I don't know if you've seen the chart. Somebody posted the chart of the press box for that game. Behind the Patriots contingency, there were like 15 Bengals employees, one row behind. You're doing it there out in the open. So I don't think that the NFL is going to conclude that there was anything remotely like Spygate or Deflategate or any other gate that you want to attach to the Patriots. But because it's the Patriots, it's a big deal. And look, I think some heads are going to roll within the Patriots organization. I think, and I know that Bill Belichick is livid about this because, you know, it sticks to him, even if he had nothing to do with it. But I think it's all going to go away. And the sooner the NFL makes it go away, the better off everybody's going to be.
Yeah. So you just think they get fined? No draft picks, just money?
I'd be shocked if they lose draft picks.
Okay.
You know, but here's the thing. The same element in the NFL that caused Deflategate to become a much bigger deal than it should have been, when you've got other owners that think that the Patriots cheat all the time and that they don't get punished enough for it, that same element could rear its ugly head. And here's how it happens. Because the Patriots are so consistently better than everyone else, when owners start calling GMs and coaches on the carpet to explain why it is that their teams can't compete with the Patriots, they never say, well, we don't work hard enough. We don't work smart enough. They're just better than us. The easy thing to say is they cheat, right? And that's kind of human nature, that anybody who in any industry, any workplace, any educational environment, if there's somebody who is just tearing it up and the other people who aren't tearing it up resent them, at some point that jealousy is going to manifest itself in a suggestion that they're up to something. They can't just be that good based on merit, that they're doing something wrong. And that's why they're better than the rest of us.
Mike, Lamar Jackson, another show he put on last night against the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Are you still waiting, and I'm sure a lot of people are, for like that one drop-off week from Lamar Jackson, or maybe that bad week where he doesn't throw the ball well, not really running the ball, maybe throws two or three picks, because it just really hasn't happened this year or even last year when he started playing. Isn't that weird?
Well, it's amazing what he's able to do. And what it comes down to is his ability to keep the defense guessing as to whether it's going to be a run or a pass beyond the snap. So much of the guessing game with football happens before the snap, looking at the little cues, the things you picked up on film, the, the way that the guy, you know, the quarterback who licks his fingers before he throws the ball. I mean, anything the defense can glean to let it know whether or not it's going to be defending a run or a pass is a huge part of playing defense. What the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson, they keep the defense on its heels beyond the snap. And you never really know what Lamar Jackson is going to do until it's too late. And I think that's why it's worked so well. I don't think it's a gimmick. I don't think it's going to be something that's easily solved. And it's going to be a challenge to confuse him. It's going to be a challenge to get the edge against him physically. And one thing he's starting to pick up, I don't know if you guys noticed this last night, he's running out of bounds more. And he's learning quickly that there's value in avoiding hits and not acting like a running back once you get the ball in your hands, playing it smart, avoiding contact. I think that the leg injury he suffered against the Bills 5 days ago may have given him a pretty clear indication that it's important to try to do that. But that I think, makes it very difficult to keep up with him. And I really wonder, and I hope that this happens, that the Patriots and the Ravens get together in the postseason, because that's going to be the ultimate test for Bill Belichick, who has come up with some masterful game plans to take the steam out of great offenses in the past. I want to see what Bill Belichick does the second time around this year with Lamar Jackson. There's some people out there who think that Belichick deliberately didn't show all of his cards the first time around. I don't buy that, but we'll see what kind of a hand he can come up with if they get together at some point in the AFC postseason.
We were talking about this early because we've been all over this Lamar Jackson thing. Like, I think he's the hottest thing in sports right now. I think he is so good for the NFL as something fresh, something new, and everything else. I wonder, though, Mike, can the league kind of like, and I know it's completely different, but we had that Wildcat and it was hot. Then the next year, everybody figured it out and it went away. It didn't do anything, had no production at all. You think the league has a chance to figure him out over a year of things, just people looking at like, hey, we get this kind of guy to stop him, or maybe we get this kind of scheme when they have more time to now realize what he can do or not?
I don't think you're going to be able to stop him unless you have players who physically can match his abilities and don't end up getting juked out of their underwear when he makes that cut as he's breaking through the line of scrimmage. I mean, every week there's one of those videos of a I've fallen and I can't get up moment from a defensive player.
Broken,
you know, we
ankles,
saw Matt Milano, the Bills, it happened to him. Oh. Yeah, it happened to a guy from the 49ers the week before. So Kyle Shanahan explained this very well before the 49ers played the Ravens. It's not a gimmick offense. It's an offense that is sustainable because it is designed to force you to guess before you want to guess, and it delays that process of committing to run or pass just by the way that he moves. And you know, that's why the RPO, the run-pass option, works so effectively, and teams are still using that. Anything to freeze the defense for that extra half second can spring things wide open, and the guy's just an incredible talent. So, and the other thing about Lamar Jackson that is so special, and I think this is why we're going to see the Ravens in every primetime game that they possibly can play in next year, and when they're not in primetime, it's going to be 4:25 p.m. Eastern on CBS or Fox. You keep watching even when the game is over, even when it's done, even when it's a blowout. You want to see what Lamar Jackson is going to do next, and I think there are very, very few athletes that will draw you in to watch their exploits, even if the game in question isn't in question.
Mike, do you feel left out that you weren't in Antonio Brown's whole social media tirade earlier this week?
Yeah, you know, I would like to set myself up for something, right? At some point. Hey, I don't know how it went yesterday, but he had a deposition in that lawsuit that was filed against him by the landlord of the apartment in Miami where he threw the furniture out the window and he ripped the, you know, allegedly trashed the apartment. He was sued by that landlord. And part of every lawsuit, you give a deposition where you go into a conference room and you answer questions and the lawyers find out about the case and you use that as kind of your guidebook to know what a person would testify about at trial. Well, his performance was so bad, the judge ordered him to do it again in front of the judge. That was yesterday. So, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he complied with everything he needed to comply with. I mean, I assume he wasn't thrown in jail for contempt, so it didn't go as badly as it could have gone. But, you know, Antonio Brown is his own worst enemy in a lot of ways, and I don't know that he's ever going to get it. I assume people are trying to give good advice I just don't think he can help himself.
I was going to say, you know Drew real well. I mean, we all know Drew real well, and like I always wonder, is Drew just get to a point? And I know he's a big agent, and he probably feels like Antonio's good for business, but do you ever get to a point where it's just too much? He's taking some shots at Drew now. Does he just say, hey, maybe we just need to split up?
It's hard to do. It's not unprecedented, and it's happened before. I think Drew parted ways with Josh Gordon at one point. So it's not impossible. But, you know, what happens is it's such a dirty and cutthroat business that if he would do that, then other agents would tell other current or future clients that Drew quit on Antonio Brown when Antonio Brown needed him. And as long as Antonio Brown is a popular figure among players, and I think he still is, then you can't do that to Antonio Brown without risking damage to the rest of your practice.
Mike, you're right. That's a great point. There's no way. Even if you're not getting paid by him and he's not paying what he's supposed to, you keep him. You're exactly right. Hey, the other great story is something we know about here in South Florida, the Ryan Tannehill. I always knew it, Mike. I knew he's going to be a frontline quarterback. I just knew it.
But we saw this 3 years ago, right? And then came Calais Campbell, the low hit to the leg that resulted in the knee injury, the partial ACL tear, the decision not to have it repaired after the 2016 season and roll the dice into 2017. And then he tore it the third day of training camp in 2017. So I'm concerned that at some point he's going to get injured again because we've seen this movie before, but this is an example of what happens when the guy finally gets a chance to flourish, and it never really happened for him with the Dolphins. This is why the Dolphins kept giving him chance after chance after chance, because they knew he could be the guy that he has become in Tennessee. But we'll see if it lasts. It's fun to watch. They're the team right now I would not want to mess with in the AFC. I don't want them rolling into my stadium for a playoff game. But it's comeback. They're talking about comeback player of the year. What's he coming back to? What's he ever been? That was like when they made Matthew Stafford the comeback player of the award, comeback player of the year award winner. He'd never done anything.
Right.
But it could be Ryan Tannehill, and if they make it to the playoffs, I think he'll get a lot of votes.
Let me ask you, if they win that division, is there a chance he could get something like $100 million contract to stay in Tennessee if he keeps doing what he's doing? Maybe win a playoff game.
Yeah, in today's NFL, it doesn't take much to get a $100 million contract. The question is, how much would be guaranteed at signing? How many years would be guaranteed? What kind of a commitment would they really be making? And I think that's the challenge right now if you're the Titans. Do you want to make a 4 or 5 year commitment to Ryan Tannehill, or do you want to do something that is shorter term, maybe 2 years? And then the question becomes, what other teams out there are going to be sniffing around Ryan Tannehill? You know, you may have teams that are skeptical that if you get him into your program, he's not going to be as good as he was in Tennessee. And so it all comes down to what the Titans think they can get away with paying him. If they think they can, they can offer him $20 to $25 million a year, which used to be a lot, right? Not long ago, that was the top of the market. That's now middle of the pack. So, and it all comes down to what Tannehill wants too. You know, does he want to go somewhere else where maybe it won't work like it's working for him in Tennessee, or does he want to stay in a place where it's finally started to click? He told me a couple of weeks ago, after their win over the Colts, that you know he just cherishes everything now. He's taking nothing for granted. His mindset may be part of it. You know, he probably never expected to be in line for a big contract. So is he going to try to squeeze out a couple extra million or two per year on a 4 or 5 year deal? I don't know that he's going to do that, but there is a lot to be determined. But as of right now, the Titans have to find a way to keep that guy around.
Yep. I don't think he wants to leave.
Me either. I think he's in a perfect spot for himself. Speaking of perfect spots for themselves, Le'Veon Bell, is he a Jet next year?
I have a feeling that he won't be, but the problem is this. He's got $13.5 million fully guaranteed for next season. He made it clear when trade talks popped up out of the blue during October that the Packers, Chiefs, Texans, and the Steelers of all teams were interested in him, that he wasn't going to reduce his contract. You know, he's worked too hard, and he sat out a full season to get himself in position to get $27 million fully guaranteed over 2 years. So I think that becomes an impediment to a trade, he's not going to take less than what he's due to get. And I don't know what team is going to pay him $13.5 million for next year based upon what he's done this year.
Yeah, interesting situation there. Mike, as always, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
See you guys. Have a good weekend.
That's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. It's always brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.